We know this story. If you have spent some time in the church, you have probably heard sermons and Sunday school lessons on this story before, the story of the woman at the well. And we know that Jesus and his disciples were traveling, and instead of taking one of the more regular routes from Judea to Galilee, this band of Jews opts for a shortcut through Samaria. And while Jesus' disciples went into the nearby town to find food, Jesus rests by a well. And it is there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, that he encounters this woman. He's thirsty and obviously tired from his journey, and so he asks her for a drink of water. We know, and we have been taught to pay attention to this encounter, for we know this is an unusual encounter. What makes it so unusual? Well, first, here is a Jew asking a Samaritan for a drink. There's a tense history there, a history wrought with competition and betrayal. Jews and Samaritans had different ideas about God and different ideas about how to worship God. And these differing opinions on why and how to worship God made the relationship with those people a mess. So the second thing we have been taught to pay attention to is the gender difference. Jesus is a Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink. Is it proper for him to have a one-on-one conversation with this woman? Is he breaking purity codes by speaking to this unclean woman? And just what is this woman doing at the well in the middle of the day? Why didn't she go with the other women earlier in the day when the sun wasn't beating down at its full height and strength? Why is she an outcast, even amongst her own people? Jesus and this woman talk, and their encounter becomes more unusual. Perplexed, the woman herself points out, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus responds, and he says something about giving her living water. She points out the obvious, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it?" And Jesus responds. Like I said, we know her story. It's a familiar story. It's a story like so many told before and after her, a story where a person's life is so transformed by an encounter with Jesus that the whole course of her life was changed. Several years ago, I was flipping through the channels, and I wound up on the History Channel watching a show entitled, What's the Earth Worth? And the whole point of this show was to put a financial value on the earth. And so they took all of the earth's assets, every tree and rock, every nugget of gold, every drop of oil, to assess the value of the earth. Of course, they calculated precious metals such as gold. They talked about the process for gathering gold. They talked about the market value of gold. And then they took the value of gold and all these other precious metals, and the total came to trillions of dollars. Next up, timber. Again, they talked about the process of being above lumber, of the process of gathering timber. They made a list of all the things that timber is used for. The number of trees on earth was estimated, and the total came to hundreds of trillions of dollars. Next, rocks like limestone and granite. Next, edibles like corn, rice, wheat, fish, cattle, sheep, and pigs. Base metals and minerals like copper and iron. And with each new category, millions and billions and trillions of dollars is added to the total. I was enthralled. I was fascinated. The process and the effort that it takes to harvest all of these resources, the tons of resources that we've accessed and the tons we have not. I found myself asking, what will the most expensive resource be? Fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas. Minutes ticked by, and the end of the episode was surely coming. And so I began to guess. Gems, diamonds, it must be diamonds, I thought. But I looked at the clock. There was still 15 minutes left in the episode. Another commercial break, and then finally, they revealed the world's most abundant, valuable, tangible resource, water. Our cells are full of it. Every reaction that happens in our body happens because of water. A scientist said, you can't think about water without water. You can go your whole life without needing gold or diamonds, but you can't go even one day without water. 71% of the earth is covered in water. Of course, the water that we use has to be fresh or groundwater, which is such a small percentage of that 71%. But unlike all the other resources, the only cost of water is the cost of getting it where it needs to go. The cost of water isn't driven by supply and demand, they said. The cost of water is the cost of getting it to you. And these days, it's not much. The most valuable resource on the planet at a very minimal cost. Of course, this depends on where you live, but even calculating the cost of transporting water at a very low U.S. rate, the financial value that they put on water was quadruple the value of all the other resources combined. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Of course, this is the metaphor that Jesus uses. And the reality of the noonday heat, both Jesus and the woman are critically aware of the necessity of water. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. We know this to be true. Now we're into the fall, but think back to the heat of the summer. Think back to, as you drive around outside of Moline, of the farmers and the crops. Think of, if any of your students went to Chick this summer, think of the refugee journey that they went on and how one of the members of their family had to get water. But those who drink of the water I give them will never be thirsty. We should pray, oh Lord, give us this living water so that like the woman, we too may never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Water, essential to life. Living water, essential to eternal life. While at first it is not clear, Jesus and this woman continue in their conversation until more is revealed, and she is certain that there's something different about this man. She is certain that he is a prophet. Very close, Jesus reveals that he is more than a prophet. He's the Messiah. He's the one they have been waiting for. He is the one. The disciples return, and while Jesus is teaching them about their mission, this woman is fulfilling the mission. She's bringing the people of the town word of the living water. For as much of an outcast as she was, for as broken as her history may have been, her story is convincing because soon the whole town knows about Jesus and is coming out to meet him. While the disciples entered a town full of people without so much as raising an eyebrow, Jesus talks to one person, and suddenly the whole town is transformed. Both Jesus and this woman were open to this encounter. Both Jesus and this woman were willing to reach across lines that society had drawn in order to have revelatory moments like, I will give you living water, and you'll never be thirsty again, and I am the one. The Bible says that many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I had ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Her testimony led to his words and their belief. In my church, we have a saying that we are there to love God and those He loves across the street, across the tracks, and around the world. Now, in Galesburg, we have a lot of trains. But perhaps here, since we're in Moline today, we could say that we are here to love God and those He loves across the street, across the river, and around the world. This woman experienced God's love. It may have taken a few moments of conversation for her to realize who she was talking to. But through the love, the compassion, and the understanding that Jesus offered her, she was able to see without a doubt that He was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one they had been waiting for. Once she experienced God's love, she wanted to share it with others. She wanted to share it with others who God loves. She didn't wait very long, did she, to go across the street? And if she had the means, I'm sure she would have gone across the tracks or across the river or across whatever would be equivalent in her town. I'm sure she would have gone across the world if she could have. In fact, she was so excited to go across the street to share God's love with those He loves that she forgot her water jar at the well. Out in the middle of nowhere, she found something worth sharing, found something worth leaving everything else behind. And she invites her whole community to experience the love of God. Together, they served Jesus and His disciples as they stayed with Him a few more days. Just these passers-by, they gave them a place to stay, they gave them things to eat. And through serving Jesus and His disciples, they grow more and more and more in relationship with Him, and they come to believe. First through the testimony of a friend, of a community member, and then through their own relationships with Jesus. Jesus and His disciples can't stay in this town forever. They have to leave. There's more across the street, across the tracks, across the river, across the world moments to be had. What would have happened? What would have happened if this woman had just given Jesus a drink and then walked away? She wouldn't have spent any time with Jesus, and she wouldn't have gotten the chance to know Christ and to grow in relationship with Him. She wouldn't have learned about the living water, and she wouldn't have been able to share that with her community. Her testimony led to His words and their belief. It is because of the testimony of the people and a larger community called the Evangelical Covenant Church. It's through covenant people that I too have found living water. Maybe you can relate to that as well. It's because of covenant churches and covenant camps, North Park University and North Park Seminary, that I am continually drawn to His word and believe. This weekend, I've had another opportunity to witness this pattern of her testimony leading to His words and their belief. This weekend, I have been on a team for a weekend retreat called Chrysalis. Some of you may recognize the name Chrysalis. Some of you might be more familiar with some of its other forms like Tech or the Road to Emmaus or the Great Banquet. It's an opportunity for girls in Galesburg to come together and to be locked, to have a lock-in, to learn from different team members' testimony, to be led to Christ's words so that they too can come to believe. There's also an opportunity for young men in Galesburg to do this as well. And it was in this community many, many years ago that I had a dramatic encounter with Jesus. And so to be able to come back 15, 16 years later and to witness this pattern again, her words, her testimony leading to Christ's words and their belief, to see women from many different walks of life giving testimony to the ways that they have encountered Jesus, to witness them calling others to examine the words of Jesus, so that they might come to believe as well, has been a very powerful thing. My faith has been enlivened by so many wonderful women and men, I don't know where my faith would be without them, without these women that shared this living water with me. And so today I challenge you to remember who the Samaritan woman in your life was. Remember the person whose life was so drastically changed by an encounter with Jesus that they couldn't keep it to themselves. So much so that they shared their encounter with you so that you too may hear the words of Jesus and believe. We're at the beginning of a new school year. I'm sure as I walked around this morning, I saw lots of Sunday school meetings and adult groups. And I'm sure you've got Sunday school meetings for kids and youth groups for kids here as well. As we enter into this new school year, remember the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples, even while the woman was telling her story in the town. Jesus said, "But I tell you, look around. Look around and see how the field is ripe for harvesting. The cost for sharing the most valuable resource on the earth, living water, the cost is really not that great. It's so minimal. It only takes a story." Remember that as we share our testimonies, others will be led to the words of Jesus and might also come to believe. And maybe, just maybe, like the Samaritans, maybe they too will one day declare, "It is no longer just because of what you have said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves that this is truly the Savior of the world."